on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Did you know that is God's cry to the world? Come unto my Son, be reconciled unto me. Alan Redpath put it this way, the pleading heart of God is only made known through the lips of Christians.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Good day and welcome to our midweek broadcast of Love Never Fails. Pastor Bill continues his study from the epistle of 1 Peter today. He's entitled today's message, The Most Hated Word in the World. Now, Pastor Bill.
Let's revisit and set this back up a little bit. Remember what we have learned, and that is the last time we were together. You know, we not only need God's word to grow spiritually, we need one another to grow spiritually. Amen? A Christian does not grow in isolation. Not at all. We need the word of God and we need one another. And also we learned all of our divine privileges of who we are and what we have and how God sees us in Christ Jesus our Lord. That not only are we living stones, we're a holy priesthood, we're a royal priesthood, we're a chosen people, we are his own special people. Amen? I mean, those are incredible divine privileges. And we know that God has called us, as we learned last time, out of darkness, called us out of darkness that we might proclaim or herald or announce his excellencies, if you will, the praises of his excellencies. Now, with all of that being said, knowing who we are, it's important that as we are God's advertisement, or I should say, living advertisement to the world, that is, the unbelievers see us, we need to think about something for a moment. You know, we who are called out of darkness into his marvelous light, we are the church. The church is the most powerful family on earth. Amen? There's no one. The one who is the head of the church has all power and authority. Amen? That's right. From generation to generation. So we're not only the most powerful family on this planet, but we're the most important as well. And we're living in a world that doesn't belong to us. We're sojourners. We're passing through. We're pilgrims, if you will. We're temporary residents. Now, with all that being said, how are we to live before a world that is so hostile? Remember the readers, the Jewish believers that Peter penned this epistle to. They were suffering bitter persecution. You know, Nero was now the emperor of Rome, and you know what's going to happen with Nero and all that. And so they're on foreign soil, if you will. We live on foreign soil. We live on enemy territory, don't we? Absolutely. Now, with all of that being said, before us is the submission of the Christian, okay? Important verses of Scripture. So not only our submission to government, but it talks about masters, and it talks about the wife's submission to the husband, talks about the husband and what he is to do as well. And those are important things today as it was back in those days. Now, with all of that being said, you've probably heard me teach that the word submit is not a bad word. Man has made it a bad word. Pastors have made it a bad word. The church has made it a bad word. But it's not a bad word. It's a beautiful word that comes from our Father in heaven. Amen? So even the wives and the husbands, you know, when it talks about it, like in Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another, and it says, in the fear of the Lord. It's not about the husband's will. It's not about the wife's will. It's about both of you agreeing with God's will. Amen? And that's how mutual submission and submitting to God happens. Now, with all that being said, I mean, I've done weddings, for example, where I did this one time many years ago. It was an outside wedding. And when I got to the vows, and I said, and I read, wives, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord. And you know, where they repeat that back, and she wouldn't repeat it. And I said, she said, I'm not going to say that. I said, well, I said, okay. But, I mean, they're right standing in front of me, all these people. And I said, you're not going to say that. She said, I will never say that word, submit. And I'm saying, well, that word isn't my word. It's in the Bible. It's from your father if you're saved. She would never do that. I went ahead, we did the ceremony, and I guess she never submitted to her husband or anybody because they're divorced. You understand? Yeah, so that word submit. Now listen to me. I want you to, this is so important this morning, because the word submit, people hate that word. Oh, they do. We all hate it. There's something in all of us. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me where to sit. Don't tell me where to park my car. Don't tell me how to drive. Don't. Come on. Oh, you don't lie to me this morning. No. If I told y'all right now, I want everybody to get up and move to vice versa, you'd go, watch what's wrong with him. I would get 50,000 emails. I'd even get emails from other church members that don't even belong here. They don't like that word, okay? But I want you to listen to me very carefully. The Bible teaches us, listen to what did Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah 53:6? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all gone astray. It says we have turned everyone to his own way. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to go the way I want to go. But that's not living, is it? No. Now listen, the word submission is a great word, because listen, I want you to understand something. Christian or non-Christian, this is true. Without submission, there is no security. Without submission, there is no safety. And without submission, you will not find any boundaries to live by. Submission is very, very important. So that's why Peter, he starts out in verse 11, and he is so loving, he is so tender. You want to see a heart of a pastor, then this is it right here, because he opens with a word in this scripture in verse 11, and he says, beloved. And then look what he says. Beloved, I do something. I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, remember, temporary residents, they live in a world that's not their own, just like us. I beg you, as sojourners, pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against your soul, or against the soul, meaning against your mind, your will, your emotions, your entire being, okay? But he uses a word that I use every time I teach. It's one of my favorite words to use, and it's the word beloved, but that word beloved means loved ones. So when you hear me say loved one, it's very scriptural, and the reason I say that is because you are dearly loved by God. Amen? Matter of fact, the Bible teaches in Ephesians 1:6 that you are accepted in the beloved, and the beloved is Jesus Christ, which means that God loves you just as much as he loves his son, and sees you just as perfect, your position, not your practice, as his son. Praise the Lord. So Peter, the heart of the pastor here, he's begging, and I think he does it with tears probably dripping as he pens this, or as Silas is penning it for him, if you will. And so when we look at this, he says, here's what you have to do. And listen, I'm going to tell you how tender this is. I could have sworn that this was an imperative in the Greek, meaning a command. It's not a command. He's so tender here and so loving. Instead of commanding the Jewish believers and us as well, every generation, he says, I'm just begging you. Well, really, it's not Peter begging you. It's Almighty God begging you through Peter, isn't it? Amen. Begging us to do what? To abstain, to hold yourself back from fleshly lust, which war against your soul. Loved one, listen. Do we live in enemy territory? Is there an enemy that wants to destroy you? What does it say in 1 Peter 5:8? Be sober, vigilant. It says because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He loves to devour people. It says resist him, and then it tells us how, steadfast in the faith. And it says, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So submission, boy, that's a big, big word, but a very important word. You know, the Bible tells us in James 4:7, he says, submit unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It will do us no good to resist the devil if we're not first submitting to God. Amen? Did you know if we're not submitting unto God, submitting unto the Holy Spirit, submitting unto the Word of God, that we are out of the will of God? Doesn't mean He doesn't love us. It doesn't mean we're not saved. It means we're not walking in the will of God. Submission is so vital and so important. So we submit to God's word and we abstain from fleshly lust by the power of another, meaning the Holy Spirit of God. We have an active, ongoing war inside of us right this minute. Not only a war without, but a war within. James 4:1 teaches us, it says, your desires for pleasure, they war in your members. They war inside of us. You know, how in the world do we conquer those things? You know, D.L. Moody said this. He said, I have more trouble with D.L. Moody than with any man I know. Isn't that a true word? I have more trouble with me than any person I know because I'm always at war about certain things. You know, you don't want to get, you're angry, but I'm not supposed to be angry. I want to punch that person on 820, but I can't. You know what I'm saying? But I want to, but I don't. Oh, that hurt me. I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? No. And so that war within, that war without. So how do we abstain? Well, the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 8, 12 and 13, it says, you know, that we are not debtors to the flesh. The flesh is not this flesh. It means the old man. In other words, I call the old man the old Billy, okay? I don't owe him a thing because he can't handle life. Do you understand? And he certainly doesn't want to submit to anyone. That's why he's always wanted to get back on the throne of our hearts and tell us what to do in this life. He wants to kick Jesus off our hearts, off the throne of our hearts, and he wants to sit there and he wants to rule. Amen? We all have that ongoing war in us right now. And he says, if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die there in Romans. And he tells us this. He says, but you do something. You put those fleshly lusts, you put the deeds of the flesh to death by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it, but we do it through the power of another. Paul the Apostle says basically the same thing. He says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, he says, I say unto you, walk, that's a lifestyle, walk in the Spirit. Okay, that is a command. He says, walk in the Spirit, and if you do walk in the Spirit, you will experience the promise. He says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires, the cravings, the appetites of the flesh, that old person, that old man. Doesn't mean you won't think them. It doesn't mean you won't feel them. But it says that you can put them to death that way. And so that's a very, very important word. So the command, walk in the Spirit, suggests a great thing. To walk in the Spirit means you have to have, or you surely you have some type of relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen? You have to know Him. You have to be intimate with Him. You cannot be led by someone you don't know. Amen? And so you have to know the Holy Spirit. He loves you, man. Now, so he goes on and he says, when you experience that victory, you're also going to experience something else. Because when you experience the promise of walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the desires of the flesh, here comes the conflict. Let me read it to you. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh, in other words, old Billy, the slave in me, you know, it says he lusts or he wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit wars against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, meaning they're always going to be a war. There's never going to be a truce. There's never going to be peace between the Spirit and the flesh until the day we go home. Amen? So we need to expect that. That's the way it's going to be. So we are contrary one to another. And then he says this, and this is where Christians really get in trouble, that you do not do the things that you wish. And a lot of believers say, you see, I want to do right, but I just didn't. You know, I want to do those things, but I'm just falling. I can't help it. That word you, well, let me read it again, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You has nothing to do with you and me. It has to do with to whom it was written, and it was written to the Galatian churches, okay? Why? What did it say in Galatians 3:3? Paul says, who's bewitched you? Who's fooled you? Having begun in the Spirit or the power of the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? See, that was their problem. This is not our problem here. Now, only believers are at war in this world. And the reason? You have two natures. You have the old man who we reckon him dead, amen? And we have our new nature. We're from the new birth. We've been made alive. Now, like I said, there's never going to be any peace between those two. And here's the problem. We didn't know it before we were born again, okay? I didn't know it. If somebody told me that, I wouldn't even know what they were talking about. But see, the old Billy, before I was born again, the slave that lived in me, he enjoyed slavery. He didn't know he enjoyed slavery. He didn't know those things at all because slavery was all the old man has ever known. He was a slave to sin. He was a slave to death. He was under the wicked one. He wasn't made alive. And so that's all that old person ever knows. So what do we do? Well, look what he says in verse 12. He says, having your conduct honorable. That word honorable means beautiful. He says, your conduct in this world should be, you should have a beautiful life. When people see you, it should be a beautiful life because you're a believer. So having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that means people that are lost. So this is a command to have that beautiful life in front of those who do not know the Lord. And he says that when they, the unbelievers, the Gentiles, when they speak against you as evildoers, and they were slandering Christians and so forth. When they speak against you as evildoers. Now listen, in Peter's day, there was such persecution and there was such evil speaking and slander going on among the early believers, the early Christian church. And they were even saying that Christians were actually cannibals. And the reason was because of the Lord's Supper. They partook of the Lord's Supper, but it was the wording. It was drinking of the blood. You follow me? And eating of the flesh and all that. And they were going, they're cannibals. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. Also treason and all other things that they were condemning them for. It says in 1 Peter 3:16, it says, but when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if the will of God, if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Now look at the end there of verse 12 again. That they, the unbelievers, that they may by your good what? Good works, which they, the unbelievers, observe. Observe is present tense. Continually observe and watch. Actually, it literally suggests very careful observation. And so unbelievers, those who are falsely accusing the Jewish believers then, those who accuse us today, listen, they were watching them, the Christian then, are we being watched today? Absolutely. So you're being observed. If people know you're a believer, if your next door neighbor knows you're a believer, if you're in school, high school, whatever grade you're in, or college or whatnot, in your workplace, if they know you're a believer, I want to tell you something. They're watching you. They're looking at you. They're trying to figure you out. They're trying to figure out why you don't laugh at the filthy jokes or why you don't have a gutter mouth. You know what I'm trying to say? Or that, you know, you're not having an affair with somebody at the office or whatnot. No, listen, they're trying to understand why you're living the life that you live. They're blown away by the way you react when they mock you, when they make fun of you in the workplace. You know, you're just a Bible thumper. You know, or I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that cuss word in front of you. I hope your ears are, you know, not offended. Does that ever happen? Come on. You know, listen, they observe us. See, we Christians witness, yes, with their mouth, with our talk, but we witness also with our walk, amen? How we live the life in this world, good works and our conduct. Barclay put it this way. He said, here is a timeless truth. He says, whether we like it or not, all Christians are an advertisement for Christianity. By their lives, they either commend it to others or make them think less of Christianity. And then he says, this is very good. The strongest missionary force in the world is the Christian life. What a word is that? In other words, because we are being observed. And he says here, watch what it says there at the end, that they would, these unbelievers, that they would, they see you, they observe you, they watch you, they don't understand what's going on in your life. And it says they would glorify God when? In the day of visitation. Now, whenever people watch you, check you out, see how you react to all those things, Your life, my life, has to radiate the Lord Jesus. Amen? Yeah, come on. Are we the light of the world? Okay, well, the Bible teaches us if we're the light of the world, then we let it so shine before men that they may see your good works. And the purpose of good works is to glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Amen? Remember what Paul told the church at Philippi, that great church. He said in Philippians 2:15 and following, he said, listen, you guys, he said, you become blameless. In other words, in your life, don't be a phony Christian. He says that you become blameless, harmless. That means innocent. Your lifestyle is one of innocent. You don't have anything to hide. He says, children of God without fault, meaning in your conduct, in your reputation. You're Christians. You're the light of the world. You're living stones. You're a royal priesthood. You're God's chosen race. Amen? You're the church. And he says, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, a disease quick, a terrible time. And here comes, among whom you shine as lights in the world in front of those who are in darkness. And what do? He goes on, he says, and you are holding forth to them the word of life. And who is the word of life? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, it says again, look at it, that they, the Gentiles, the lost then, the lost today, would glorify God. When? Again, the day of visitation. What is a day of visitation? It is the day that the Lord God draws near to any person for the offering of grace. But if it's refused, it would be the offer that one day it'll be judgment. Amen? That day of visitation. It says in 1 Peter 4:5, they will all give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. So we're being observed by the lost. They were being observed by the lost. We're God's living advertisement. And it says they glorify God, these unbelievers, when? On the day of visitation. What is that implying here? It means this. You're in your workplace, or you're in your school, or your next door neighbor, whatever it might be. They've watched you for years, maybe. They've watched your actions. They've mocked you, maybe. They've ridiculed you. They want nothing to do with you. They talk behind your back. They know that you think you're a goody two-shoes and all the rest of it. Come on, we've all been there. But then one day they're hurting. One day they may lose someone they love. One day they may find themselves sick in their body. And they've heard you pray in the lunchroom or wherever it might be, and they know that you believe in God. The day of their visitation has arrived. Why? They come to you. That is their moment of grace. That is their hour of salvation, all because of you, all because they watched you and they said, I don't know what it is about her, or I don't know him or her, whatever, but they're just real. They have something that I don't have and I want it. No one can help me, but I believe you can help me. And they come to you. Loved one, the Bible is very clear. Those that don't know Jesus, loved one, they don't read their Bible. Amen? You think unbelievers, I think I'll read the Bible today, go buy 4 or 5 of them, you know. No, they don't do that. They don't read the Bible. They read you. You're a living epistle, like Paul the apostle when he wrote to Corinth. You're my living epistle. Your lives are a book, and people watch it, and they see what you do. And so those unbelievers, they read you. They don't see Jesus. They see Jesus in you. They don't go to church. They don't hear a sermon. You're the only sermon that the unbeliever, this world, will ever, ever see. That's why the Bible tells us something. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, now we are ambassadors for Christ. We're his representatives. We're sent out into this world. We represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. He says, as though we were through God pleading, God was pleading through us. We implore you, we beg you, we beseech you, Paul says, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
Pastor Bill will complete this message on tomorrow's program, and we look forward to seeing you once again. We appreciate you listening along with us today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International,
or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.